I have is, I think Bruce went around and passed out outlines of this study to most people, but if you didn't get one, there's more on the back table next to the donuts. And I guess the second thing is, just remember Greg today, he's running a quarter marathon this morning. I called him yesterday and told him to make sure he stops when it hurts, but probably a few prayers in that regard might not be a bad idea. Also, Richard continues to struggle with adjusting to his pulmonary fibrosis, and so he's not going to make it today. Obviously, keep him lifted up in prayer. And all the other guys that you know at your tables that have things going on, we all have things going on, just don't forget to lift them up as well. So, a couple of questions, easy ones. Show of hands, how many people have heard of the book of Galatians? Okay, I saw most of the hands go up. Okay. Yeah. How many people have read the book of Galatians before? Okay. Two hands didn't go up. That's all right. How many people have ever done a Bible study of Galatians before? Okay, only about half, so that's pretty interesting. So we're going to embark on 12 weeks through the book of Galatians, and there's a lot of things in the book of Galatians that are very well known. One of the most well known things is the fruit of the Spirit, okay, as in Galatians chapter 5. And so for those of you for whom this will be a repeat, like you've read it a dozen or more times and studied it in Bible studies three or four or five or six times in your lifetime, I would encourage you to try to find something new in Galatians. Anybody else hear feedback? Is it? Okay. How's that? Herb, how's the sound? How's?
You lower your voice, then I don't hear you.
That's good. It tells me you're alive. All right. All right. So anyway, thank you, Lowell. You now have a new job here. So again, I would encourage you to find something new. So my job today is to do what Greg usually does, and I'll have to admit that Greg, I'm sure, does it a whole lot better than I do, which is to give an overview of the book of whatever we're going to be studying. As I was working on this the last couple weeks, there were a lot of things that were kind of new to me, or I looked at them and I said, gee, maybe I knew that, but I never really thought about that. And one of the things that I didn't think much about was the timeline of Paul's ministry. And if you have like a study Bible in the beginning, a lot of times they'll start out and they'll say, well, this book was written at this particular time and to these people and blah, 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 blah. And sometimes you just blow by that and get into the book. But it was new and interesting and gave me a different perspective on reading the book. So I'm going to go through just a real quick timeline of Paul's ministry and how it fits in with Galatians, just to give you some background. Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus was in AD 35. From 35 to 38, he preached pretty much around Damascus and in what at the time was known as Arabia. In 38, he went to Jerusalem for the first time after his conversion. Now, he was a Pharisee, so he was very familiar with Jerusalem, and had been there many times and probably had lots of people. But for 3 years after he was converted, he hadn't been to Jerusalem, and he went back to Jerusalem. And it says that while he was there, he visited with Peter and James. We don't know exactly how long he spent with them specifically, but he was only in Jerusalem for 15 days after not having been there for 3 years, because there were a bunch of Hellenistic Jews who were trying to kill him. And so that was the reason that he left Jerusalem after 15 days. And apparently, again, he spent a little bit of time with Peter and James, but that was it. From 38 to 46, he spent most of his time in and around Tarsus, which was where Paul was from, and doing ministry work. Whatever that involved, there's not a lot that's written about those years. In fact, a couple of commentators call them, I think, the mystery years or the unknown years in Paul's ministry. But later on, Barnabas had heard of the work that Paul was doing at that time, and so we know he was doing something there. In AD 46, Paul began his first missionary journey, which included the churches in Galatia, which is the book that we're studying. In AD 48, he began his second missionary journey, which also included, again, the province or the area of Galatia that he had previously visited. In AD 49, he wrote the epistle to the Galatians. And a lot of as you know, Paul was considered the missionary to the Gentiles. And when, if you remember from our study in Acts, when the apostles and Paul sort of divvied up things, there was just a general agreement that God had given Paul charge of ministering to the Gentiles, and Peter was sort of in charge of taking the gospel to the Jews. So that was how that divided up. And there were big problems with that, as we'll get into in a little bit. But another event in Paul's life, AD 50, was the Council of Jerusalem. So Galatians, as we're going to talk about, is Paul writing to the churches that he established, who were comprised primarily of Gentiles, warning them about some problems with some renegade Jewish groups that had come in there that had tried to pervert the gospel. And one of the things that they had tried to pervert the gospel about was actually decided at the Council of Jerusalem in AD 50, which was a meeting with Paul and Barnabas, as well as the apostles and the elders of the church in Jerusalem. And what was the main thing that was decided at this Council of Jerusalem was that there would be no conditions imposed on the Gentile converts other than having faith in Christ. Okay, because that was a problem up to that point. A couple more dates. In AD 51, Paul wrote 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. In AD 52, he began his third and final missionary journey. In 55, he wrote 1 Corinthians. In 56, he wrote 2 Corinthians. In 57, he wrote Romans, which is it's very similar to Galatians in certain ways, but much more in depth. Now here's the new part for me. In AD 60, the first gospel was written, the Gospel of Luke. Between 60 and 65, they're not exactly sure when, the Gospels of Matthew and Mark were written. Acts was written between 63 and 70. And the Gospel of John was written between 85 and 90. So here's where the new thing came for me. Where did Paul get his material? None of the Gospels were written. He was out there preaching already for 3 years before he ever met any of the apostles, where did Paul get his material? He wrote all these letters, Galatians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Romans, all before any of the Gospels were published, which means that when he took the gospel message to all those places that he took it to, he didn't have a Bible with him, obviously. He didn't really have any what we know as New Testament scriptures. Nothing. He did have the Old Testament, and as we'll see in a little bit, he used that once in a while, but when he was ministering to the Gentiles, and he also ministered to some Jewish people out in the non-Jerusalem, non-Israel area, but when he was ministering to and taking the gospel to the Gentiles, saying, hey, didn't you see this in the Old Testament? That made sense for Jews, but it really didn't make a lot of sense for Gentiles. They didn't have any connection to the Old Testament. And so this was, again, this new thing for me. And let's see if I'm going to start. Okay, so I'm going to start to do a little bit of an overview of Galatians, and then I think it will maybe be, well, Paul got the gospel message, and many of you know this, I'm sure Lowell knows it, but he's going to be kind and let me say it, and he's not going to say it. Paul got the gospel message directly from the Lord. He couldn't help himself, could he? He just couldn't help himself. That's all right. He didn't have any of the writings of the apostles. He hadn't spoken with them. He got the message directly from God. Now, just as an aside, I had this question last night right before I went to bed. I wrote it down here. And the question was, why didn't God pick one of the 12 apostles to take the gospel to the Gentiles? The guys who had spent 3 years, 3.5 years, with him day in and day out, that he spoke to every day, that he taught every day. Why did he pick Paul and then give him this gospel message directly through personal revelation and not from the other guys? I don't have an answer to it. I don't need to have an answer to it.
And of course, he was brilliant because he studied under Gamaliel. And of course, back then, you were asked to study under a noted Jewish scholar. So he had much more universal credentials and understanding to travel than this group of 12 people who were just more or less around him in that area. To me, that was obvious, and I may be totally wrong, but that's the way it looks to me.
You could be right.
But he also persecuted Christians in his earlier life. He had a reputation.
That's correct.
Yes, as we all know, which would be a strike against him.
He had the temperament to be radical.
That's correct.
Okay.
He's a type A personality, and he also had to deal with the Judaizers, And he had an understanding there which many of these other apostles may not have had. Judaizers being the ones that were challenging because they were saying to the Gentiles, you have to do this to be, you know, to
right.
be Christian.
Of course, Paul was, he was a Jew, right?
Absolutely.
Many of the apostles were Jews.
Sure.
Some weren't. So, anyway, one of the things we don't have in here is like flip charts or overheads, which would be, you know, if I had a flip chart here, then I could put a column that says, you know, pluses in Paul's favor, things that, you know, not in Paul's favor, and we could go down and list them all. So these are all good points that everyone's making. But the fact of the matter is, as I started to say, I don't need an answer to that question. Because God, if God had wanted me to have an answer in the Bible, he probably would have told us. He didn't. We can speculate about it, but it isn't going to make any difference because it was God's gospel and he got to choose. I just thought it was interesting. I had never, again, this newness of looking at, going through and doing a study and looking at a book and then, you know, being open and actually praying and saying, Lord, show me something you didn't show me before. That just hit me. It was, you know, it was just interesting. So I'm going to do a quick overview now on the first missionary journey. As I said, Paul founded several local churches in the Roman province of Galatia, which is now southern Turkey. Here's another interesting thing about Turkey. I looked up the religious composition of Turkey, and you can find study after study after study from, you know, 1960 all the way through. I found one that was 2017. Best I can tell, the Christian population of Turkey is between 0.2%, that's 1/5 of 1%, and on the low end, and 2% on the high end. So Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians in this area of Turkey. Back then, he was a little bit PO'd that they were not getting it. He actually visited them on every one of his missionary journeys, presumably to reinforce the gospel message. And then, what do we see 2,000 years later? Christianity is nothing in that area. Was Paul's work wasted? I don't think so. Is he thrilled about it as he thinks about it right now? Probably not. More importantly, what does God think about that? Anyway, just another kind of new thing. So when Paul went there, in that area, there were already lots of belief systems or religions. There was worship of many local gods and goddesses, and many of those were associated with particular racial groups, and there were bunches of different racial groups in the area, so they each had kind of their own god, maybe, but then there were other gods that and goddesses that everyone worshipped. There was, because Rome was already got a foothold in there, there was worship of the Roman Empire, emperor, and so that was becoming a bigger thing. There were various forms of pagan idolatry and witchcraft in the area as well. And there was a significant minority of Jews there who already had their own synagogues. So it was not a place that had never heard of religion or worship or a belief system. It was all over the place. Now comes Paul, and every description you read of Paul is he's sort of this diminutive, maybe not that charismatic looking of a Jew. And he comes in, and he's armed with nothing but the personal revelation that he received from the Lord. And his job now, and I'm awfully glad it was his job and not mine, was to go to all these peoples who already had these well-established belief systems and worship systems and tell them that there's a new way. Oh, and by the way, I'm a Jew, but I'm like not really a Jew spiritually. I am this new thing. And there was this guy, maybe you heard of him, but probably they didn't hear of him at that point. It was only 10, 15 years after Christ had been crucified. No mass communication. But here's the deal. And so he does this, and then he leaves. And when Paul's MO, when he went into these cities on his missionary journeys, was to preach first in the Jewish synagogues that were there, if there were any, because that was already an established worship center. Again, he wasn't, if he was in a city on his journey, he wasn't going to ignore the Jews and only go out and find the Gentiles. He was going to get everyone. But a lot of times the synagogue was like a hubbub of activity, and so he could get a bigger audience there, so he was a little bit smart about his approach to this. And so when he preached, many of the Jews believed, and many Gentiles believed, but some of the Jews didn't. Again, those Jews who had been there for years and years and years, they maybe didn't hear what was going on back in Jerusalem. They maybe didn't know about Jesus or just heard that this guy was crucified and there were all kinds of wild stories about him. And they had their tradition from, 4,000 years? So they stuck with that. And these unbelieving Jews tried to stir up the Gentiles against Paul. So when Paul was in Galatia on the first missionary journey, he spent a lot of time there trying to get it into the Gentiles' heads that this is the gospel. And you don't have to be a Jew, because the gospel was brought by Christ for everyone, Jews and non-Jews. There's a comment that's like one verse in Galatians that said that the Lord confirmed Paul's message by enabling him to perform miraculous signs and wonders. Thank you, Lowell. What am I going to say next? Shortly after his first journey, he heard about this extreme faction of Jews who had gone into these. So they tried to trash Paul while he was there. Then after he left, they went into these Gentile churches or whatever and started to tell them, hey, you know, this guy who came in here and talked to you, he maybe got part of it right, but he didn't get everything right. And so they were diligent about trying to get the Gentiles to believe that they had to actually keep the Jewish law in addition to having faith in Jesus Christ. And one of the things about keeping the Jewish law was that they needed to be circumcised. So that was an issue. Anyway, Paul got wind of that, and that's what caused him to write this letter to the Galatian churches. He was very upset. Some people make a big deal about how in this one, usually when Paul starts his letters out, you know, he's like, grace and peace to you, brothers, and he's lavishing praise on them. I thank you so much for blah, 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 blah. And they're saying, some people actually say that he departed from that in this letter. And I'm just going to say this just so you know this piece of information. This was his first letter. He didn't depart from anything. He just said, hi, I'm Paul, and what the heck are you doing? So you can, you know, read the letter, read chapter 1. So a brief run through of, that's kind of a lead up to what caused the letter to be written. In Galatians. In chapters 1 and 2, Paul gives himself, this is the overview part that Greg always does, Paul gives himself a brief introduction. He addresses those who were accepting the Judaizers' perverted gospel. He states that he received the gospel independently from the Lord and not from the 12 apostles, but the 12 apostles did approve his message and his ministry, which is true. And Paul demonstrates in Galatians 1 and 2 that salvation is by faith alone, and he alludes to and talks about his own conversion. In chapters 3 and 4 of Galatians, he presents several arguments to show that sinners are saved by faith and grace and not by works and the law. He appeals to the Galatians' own experience of when they received the gospel initially when he brought it to them. And he spent some time in Galatians going back to the Old Testament in that letter and talking about how even Abraham and the prophets knew that salvation was by grace through faith. And he explains the relationship of God's law, God's promises, and the work of Jesus Christ. In chapters 5 and 6, which we'll get to in December when it's cold and snowy out, Paul explains the relationship between grace and practical Christian living. And if there is one huge message in the Bible, it's not only that God extended grace to us, but that our lives need to be filled with grace. We each need to be gracious. If you call yourself a Christian and people don't look at you and see that you're a gracious person, there's a problem. Paul mentions in 5 and 6 that living by grace means that you're living a free life, living in liberty, not in bondage. He says that we should depend on the Spirit and not on the flesh, that we should live for others and not for ourselves, and we should live for the glory of God and not man's approval. And I'm going to stop there, even though I have more material. I thought I was going to be done at quarter after. I guess not. So, I hope you enjoy the study of Galatians. I'm sure that there's just so much material here. Again, look for the things that you don't already know about Galatians. Pray for the Lord to open your eyes to something new after, I know some of you guys have been reading Galatians for probably 60 or 70 years. And it's like, oh my gosh, here we go again. But there's stuff there. There's just stuff there. So anyway, there's questions that were passed out. Get together in groups and talk about the questions and enjoy the rest of the morning.
I got an announcement.